Revelation chapter number 20, first three verses. To be better prepared for the entrance into the chapter number 20, I would like us to turn again our heart and mind to the bliss and abundance in the chapter number 19. As we hear the great voice of much people in heaven, our heart, mind, soul, and even our body echo with our Lord's salvation, glory, and power. Beholding our God's righteousness and uncompromising divine justice fills our soul with Amen, Alleluia. We hear His sound voice. We follow the prophets, apostles, the multitude of the faithful witnesses, all of them led by our Master Spirit, and the martyrs carried in the arms of our crucified Lamb of God, our risen Savior, and our glorified Lord of Lords. Examples, testimonies, and praises of that multitude flow from their souls to ours. Praises excel from whispers to rolling thunders. We rejoice and honor the Almighty Lamb of God. We are a part of His bride, eagerly putting on the splendor of His righteousness, bravely despising the ignorance of the slaves in darkness, although they see us only as hopeless and aimless sufferers. The world of enticements and dangers has become a short battle only before the everlasting triumph. The heaven is opened before us, and the faithful and true reveals Himself in glory and bliss. We see Him as the living Word of God. As we behold Him as He is in reality, our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, right here and now, in our sight, the beast, the earthly rulers, are thrown in the lake of fire. Their armies of slaves, blinded by their false prophet, are slain by his sword. Their flesh is devoured by their own abominations, the worship of the wicked dragon and the beast. These rich revelations prepare us to behold the next unveiling of the mysteries beyond perception and belief of blind sinners. To Christ's bride, the splendor and bliss of our bridegroom's glory are an overwhelming power, lifting us from death to life in Christ and from dust to glory. All because He desired to rescue us from hell and to give us life eternal. First three verses of the chapter number 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and the great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. To form some perception, who is this angel? What his significance and the scope of his representation are, I'd like to take a brief reflection at the angels we met already in this book. In the chapter number 1, verse number 1, an angel serves our Lord Jesus in bringing Christ's revelation to his servant John. In the same chapter number 1, verse number 20, and the chapter numbers 2 and 3, are the seven angels of the churches, Christ's ministers. In the chapter number 5, verse number 2, a strong angel proclaims the question, who is worthy? In the same chapter number 5, verse number 11, a multitude of angels is around the throne, as if leading the chorus of multitudes glorifying the Father and the Son. In the chapter number 7, verse number 1 and 2, are the four angels holding back the destruction of the earthly environment, and the fifth angel to seal the Israel's children for the living God before an awful destruction. In the chapter number 8, verse number 2, we meet the seven angels with trumpets. From the verse number 6 in the chapter number 8, to the verse number 1 in the chapter number 9, 5 of the 7 angels trumpeted. In the chapter number 9, verse number 13, the 6th angel sounds the triple woe, woe, woe of the destruction. In the chapter number 10, first 7 verses, a mighty angel announces the fulfillment of prophecies. He gives a little book to John to digest. He tells John to measure God's temple, altar, and worshippers, but not the outside court. Chapter number 11, verse numbers 1 and 2. In the chapter number 11, verse number 15, the seventh angel signals the proclamation of Christ's victory, everlasting reign in praise, and his reward to his saints. In the chapter number 12, verse numbers 7 through 9, Michael's angels battle against the dragon and his angels. In the chapter number 14, verse numbers 6 and 7, the angel of the everlasting gospel leads a group of 6 angels, 3 of them before and 3 of them after the appearance of the Son of Man sitting on a white cloud having a sickle. In the chapter number 15, verse number 1 is a great sign. 7 angels having the 7 last plagues. In the verse numbers 5 and 6, the 7 angels come out of the heavenly temple. In the chapter number 18, verse number 1, the earth is lighted with the glory of a powerful angel proclaiming the fall of the great Babylon. In the verse number 21, another mighty angel, by casting a great stone into the sea, demonstrates the violent overthrow of that evil city, Babylon. In the chapter number 19, verse number 17, an angel standing in the sun loudly invites all the fowls to feast upon the carcasses of discomfited armies and their kings, the followers of the beast and his false prophet. All these angels glorify our King, King of kings and Lord of lords. They proclaim his gospel, assist his redeemed and faithful flock, battle against the hordes of evil, and bring God's revelation. Some of them are heavenly residents. Others are Christ's messengers and ministers of his word in the world. Some angels appear as our God's power and a presentation or vision of particular parts in his purpose. Glory to the Father and Son in God's redemption of obedient and God's justice toward stubborn rebels. We can see these angels and ministers as chain links. They all participate in battling and binding the devil, as our captain of the entire host appoints each one. The entire chain is not as weak as the weakest link in it. This chain is strong, unbreakable, because of Christ's power in his entire testimony. In his love, he places on our shoulders our burdens, and he calls us to deny our carnality and to embrace his call. Gospel according to Matthew chapter number 16, verse number 24. Gospel according to Mark chapter number 8, verse number 35. And chapter number 10, verse number 21. And the Gospel according to Luke chapter number 9, verse number 24. His call is not depriving us of any lasting wealth and pure pleasure. He liberates us from our self and selfishness to enable us to feast on the manna from above and on the bread of life. He is our fountain of purification and refreshing living water. In the wilderness of the world in sin, he is our tree of life. This angel with the great chain and the key of the bottomless pit in his hand represents the entire everlasting gospel proclamation and every link in the testimony of the faithful, patriarchs, prophets, beggars and kings, apostles, martyrs, and witnesses. When we walk in the power of Christ's Spirit, we receive Him. He gives us power to be the children of God. We believe on His name. We are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Gospel according to John, chapter number 1, verse numbers 12 and 13. Please look into the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter number 12, verse numbers 28 and 29. If I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man? Then he will spoil his house. Now, look into the second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter number 10, verse numbers 4 through 6. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, our King of Kings. Look in the Revelation chapter number 18, verse numbers 1 and 2. I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. He cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. This angel, in the chapter number 20, verse number 1, is just an angel. Yet in his hand is the key of the bottomless and the great chain. He performs a great task by the power of Christ. Remember the two small witnesses with the great testimonies? One is in the second book of Kings, chapter number 5, verse number 2. The Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. She said unto her mistress, Would God, my lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, he would recover him of leprosy. Through the testimony of this little maid, our Lord's glory was spread far away, outside the land of Israel. The other example is in the first book of Samuel, chapter number 3, verse numbers 1 and 10. The child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Verse number 10. The Lord came and stood and called, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant hears. Through the testimony of Samuel, the nation of Israel was restored to the worship of our Lord. Remember the two coins of the poor widow in the Gospel according to Mark, chapter number 12, verse numbers 42 and 43. There came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, two little coins. Our Lord calls unto him his disciples and says unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. The mighty creative and saving power of our King's Spirit is in every testimony he generates and he accomplishes. In the Revelation chapter number 9, the falling star uses the key of the bottomless to release so much evil. In these first three verses of the chapter number 20 in the Revelation, the faithful messenger uses the same key to cast the enemy into the pit, shut him up, and seal him. In the chapter number 7, verse number 3, is the seal of grace. Here, in the chapter number 20, verse number 1, is the seal of everlasting condemnation. The seal is our God's order, appointment, or His permitted consequences of sins. Now let us search the significance and meaning of the number 1,000. In many places in the scriptures, the meaning is literal. In a significant number of passages, the meaning is symbolic, or it means very many. The Revelation book contains many, many symbols. I'd like to explore a few examples of other than literal meaning of the word 1,000. In the book of Exodus chapter number 20 verse number 6, our Lord is showing mercy unto thousands of them that love Him and keep His commandments. In the book of Leviticus chapter number 26 verse number 8, our God promises a blessing to the faithful. 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter number 7 verse number 9 we read, the Lord God keeps covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. In the chapter number 32 verse number 30 is another example. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight? Joshua speaks to encourage Israel in the chapter number 23, verse number 10. One man of you shall chase 1,000. In the first book of Samuel, chapter number 18, verse number 7, women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. In the Psalm number 50, verse number 10, our God speaks, every beast of the field is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. The prophet Micah, in the chapter number 6, verse number 7, says, will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? In many places, in the Psalms and prophets, the word 1,000 indicates just a large number, not necessarily an exact amount. 1,000 years could mean a long but not precisely indicated time period. God slammed bound Satan long ago. Revelation chapter number 17 verse number 8. If the devil had been free to work out his wicked intentions, nothing could have been accomplished in the name of Christ. Millions of sinners are not bound in the bottomless pit, and they worship Satan's image in sins and blasphemies. All the faithful children of our Heavenly Father in Christ, and the children in need of corrections, suffer because our God loves us. He permits us to suffer for a good testimony, for our correction, and for our growing in the faith and knowledge of God's Son. If the adversary has not been bound, limited, none of us would endure physically or spiritually. God reigns. Since our Lord confirmed the martyrdom of our brother Abel and condemned the murderer, by our God's placement of the rainbow in the clouds, by Melchizedek's blessing to Abram, and God's acceptance of the offering of Abraham, by many other signs and wonders, the Almighty God, the Father and the Son testify that the Holy Spirit reigns in the heart of His godly worshippers. He is the one having power to bind the old serpent, the dragon. Never before was the binding of Satan manifested as in our Savior's ministry before, during, and after His crucifixion. His outpouring the power and anointing of His Holy Spirit bound the devil and sealed him in the bottomless pit, in their heart and in their daily walk in steady obedience to His will. they reigned with Christ on the earth, and our Lord turned all the stumbling blocks into the stepping stones, and obstacles into opportunities, dungeons into the places of bright revelation, persecutions into brilliant testimonies, and martyrdoms into triumphant entries into glory. Forever he reigns, and on his head are multitudes of crowns. The Revelation chapter number 19, verse number 12. In the book of Leviticus chapter number 25, Israel was given the 7-year Sabbath. 7 times 7-year Sabbaths would bring them to the 50th year, the year of Jubilee, when all were to be graced with giving and receiving liberty. Sadly, they never obeyed God's word. God's living word, the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, came as a humble servant. Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter number 1, verse number 3. In the Gospel according to Luke, chapter number 4, verse numbers 18 through 21, he, the Lord Jesus, declared that, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Today is this fulfilled before your very eyes. He declared that he has been sent, and they not only disobeyed, but also violently rebelled against the only Redeemer. On the 50th day, he fulfilled the promise. The trumpet of the everlasting Jubilee, Christ's eternal Sabbath, dawned upon us. Not only 7 times 7, but 10 times 10, 1,000 years, endless reign of Christ and his saints is manifested. 1,000 times he fulfills his Father's pleasure. 1,000 times he saves all who trust and obey him. 1,000 times he binds the devil. This is our glorious King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is our heavenly Bridegroom, the longing of our souls. What about Satan's release afterward? This is our sad part of the entire deal. Our faithfulness is not 10 times 10 times 10. We ought always to strive, pray, and long for full obedience. We must never deceive ourselves thinking that we are rich. Remember the Revelation chapter number 3, verse number 17? "Because you say, 'I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing,' and you know not that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Remember some of the 7 churches? Chapter number 2, verse number 4. "Thou hast left thy first love. Repent and do the first works." Chapter number 2, verse number 14. "You have them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication." Chapter number 2, verse number 15. "You have the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which I hate." Chapter number 2, verse number 20, "You suffer that Jezebel, false prophetess, to seduce my servants to fornicate and sacrifice to idols." Whenever we relax our hold of our Master, whenever we neglect his 1,000 years in our heart and our daily walk, we let the powers of darkness loose against us. For the obedient servants, here is the chapter number 3, verse number 22. "He that has an ear, Let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. As soon as we are told, repent, rush back to our Lord, let not Satan deceive us any longer. O Lord God, our Father in Christ, deliver us from our darkness by thy bright revelation. Grant us unity in thy Holy Spirit. Bless us in thy loving Lordship that we live for thy pleasure, labor fervently, and rejoice in Christ, our eternal ransom.